The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia. This is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome in and welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis. The show is presented by the Masters Law Firm and Parmar. If there's not a Parmar near you now, there will be soon. I'm Anthony Lewis with Avon Coburn, the GOAT, and Derek Bailey. I'm going to be talking a little WVU football. It's the Duke's Mayo Bowl. December 27th in Charlotte, North Carolina. West Virginia takes on the Tar Heels of North Carolina. Gentlemen, first of all, it's good to see you. We've had a few weeks off. Good to catch up with you gents.
What's happening, man? I missed you guys, man.
Yeah. I love bowl season. Even though the players don't play anymore, I still love bowl season. I'm ready for it to get underway.
There's been a few good bowls here over the last few weeks. Marshall, man, I call that the damn, I'm getting old bowl.
Yeah, man, it's tough to turn that on and see Pennington and McCown and the kids. They're the player, well, like the guys we watch, they're it's the sons.
Kids, yeah. Not only that, but it was tough to step past 9 o'clock and watch the game.
I'm not going to lie. I made it to halftime and then I was out.
Well, they made it to 14 to nothing and then I peeled out. I was like, this is going to be over with.
Yeah, I watched very minimal. I've been running around. You got four babies,
man. Yeah, man, you got Christmas for babies. You're good. I don't have any babies. I just got one nephew. I'm good. I don't have to buy all those presents and everything.
Well, let's get into it. West Virginia, North Carolina. West Virginia is 8-4. North Carolina is 8-4. They're 4-4 in the ACC with wins over South Carolina, Appy State, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Miami, Campbell, and Duke. But they seem to have fell apart there at the end of the season.
They're not great on defense, so they're one of those teams with their quarterback when he normally plays. Now, he's not playing the bowl game, but they can beat anybody because they're going to be able to score points on you. But they're one of those teams that can also lose to anybody because they can't stop anybody. I know there towards the end of the year, they lost a lot of games. North Carolina State scored like 39 points on them. Somebody else got them for a big number. Virginia, I believe it was, scored like 34 on them. This is a favorable matchup, in my opinion, for West Virginia because of the lack of, well, the opt-outs for North Carolina. This is a game that you have to win. I just do not see North Carolina being able to beat West Virginia in this bowl game.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement on that. I actually had us to lose this game until everybody opted out.
Wait, what?
I did.
He never picks West Virginia to lose.
I had us actually losing this bowl game because I just don't believe in Neil Brown. Even though, it was hard to say that. You know, I'm like, we're gonna lose this game, but you know, like you said, they struggled. They struggled. You know, coming down the end of the year. I'm talking about North Carolina. Didn't they lose to Virginia Tech too?
I can't remember. I know. I think they started. If I'm not mistaken, they started like 6-0 or 7-0 and finished 8-4.
Yeah, they struggled. They struggled at the end of the year, and I don't see them with all their starters not playing us, and we're gonna be fired up because you know we finished 8-4 this year. We're gonna get to 9, which is. We should have been at 10 to be honest with you.
North Carolina lost to North Carolina State. Clemson,
Georgia Tech, and Virginia.
Yeah.
And look at the numbers, though, that they gave up. 31 to Virginia, 46 to Georgia Tech, 31 to Clemson, and then 39 to NC State. I mean, that's not good. You beat Duke 47-45. They gave up big numbers.
With a backup QB.
You know, they gave up big numbers to teams after they started 6-0. I just don't feel like this is a North Carolina team that's going to have a whole lot of motivation to play without their quarterback and without several other key parts that they have. And this is a West Virginia team that hasn't been to a bowl in a couple of years. They're going to be really excited to play. I think this is a huge upper hand for West Virginia in this ball game.
Yeah, I mean, the optics of it at the end of the day, West Virginia is going to possibly finish if they win. They would finish with 9 wins. And when we look back on it in 10 years, it's the 9-year season. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so all the ins and outs and all the things that we've dug into throughout the course of the season really won't matter at that point. But you got to look at West Virginia's side of the field too. You know, you're not going to have Zach Frazier.
True.
C.J. Donaldson's not playing, and then you've got issues. One of the defensive linemen is
Lockhart transferred to SMU.
So you've got guys on that side of the ball, but later we're going to hear from Coach Brown, and he's going to talk a little bit about opportunity. And honestly, on both sides of the ball, West Virginia and North Carolina are going to have guys that are going to be kind of hungry for opportunity. And so it'll be an interesting game. And then later we're going to hear from Coach Rich Rodriguez about his bowl victory. And then we briefly discussed the Tire Bowl, the inaugural game in Charlotte. This game has been the Tire Bowl. It's been the Meineke Care Bowl, and now it's the
Duke's Mayo.
Yeah. So, and you know, here's the thing: when they announce West Virginia going to Charlotte, there's not going to be. I mean, the Hillbilly Highway will be packed next week.
And the crazy thing is this has got one of the better traditions now in bowl games, where they dump the mayonnaise on the winning coach.
I'm out.
It's kind of disgusting, but it's still funny.
I'm all the way out on that. Yeah.
Don't be dumping no mayonnaise on me. So, I mean, honestly, when you look at the bowl picture, though, I'm kind of confused on – so this would have been an SEC team that West Virginia took the slot for, I guess. It should have been an SEC versus ACC game.
Yes, last year – or one year, I believe it was South Carolina and Notre Dame last year.
It's been
was that. In 1 year, it was South Carolina or Virginia Tech. And South Carolina and Virginia Tech, I believe, 1 year. Yeah, this is usually a ACC-SEC matchup. Or, of course, they have the option to take Notre Dame.
Yeah, they should definitely write in the option to take West Virginia every year because...
Oh, they'll travel.
Oh, I mean, we'll travel big time down the Hillbilly Highway.
You know, it's funny. I went back yesterday or the day before, and I watched the 08. You know how you can watch the cutdowns of the game? So I watched the entire 08 Meineke Care Bowl with Pat White and those guys in like 30 minutes. And Pat was – he looked like Joe Montana. He threw like four touchdowns.
Yeah, he was slinging. I actually seen that too a couple weeks ago when they announced it.
And Hakeem Nicks looked like Randy Moss.
Oh my God. They were just. He caught one and carried it around his back and then continued. It was
incredible.
That was the same year as Megatron, right?
No, Megatron went to Georgia Tech.
Oh.
And Megatron was 07.
No, you said it, Hakeem Nicks.
It was Hakeem Nicks, yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was.
All right. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit from the coach in about. The game, and also about Beanie Bishop. We'll do that after this.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Hey, it's Dave Allen for Parmar Stores, and yes, another holiday season is here. Now, you don't need me to tell you how hectic it all is with the shopping, the cooking, the decorating, family and friends. Well, just remember, your local Parmar store is here for you during the holiday season and year-round. From gas to groceries and all the other things you need or may run out of, Parmar has you covered. We are the official convenience store of Marshall University and of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission. Happy holidays, and remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate, or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, or welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio with Derek Bailey and Avon Coburn. And now we're going to hear from Coach Neil Brown at his bowl press conference. And, you know, one of the things he talked about was winning and how that changes things in the locker room amongst his team. So here's Coach Brown on winning.
Well, winning makes it, but I think the process of what got to the wins is, so this was this had a different feel to it going back to really when you get your whole, because you really don't, you don't feel like you got your, as a coach, you know, like you have two portal dates and all that, but you don't really feel like you can exhale and go, okay, this is my team, until the first day of fall camp. All right, first day of fall camp, you got your team. And so it's really had a different feel the whole time. It's and I think some of it is just our leadership's better. We made some significant changes schematically, defensively. We really changed kind of who we were offensively. And the locker room dynamics are a lot different and they're a lot better, right? And so I think that enabled some success.
Yeah, you know, listening to that comment, he made a great point about the portal, because you don't have your real team pretty much other than the first day of fall camp, and you still don't even have it in the bowl game, as we're seeing. But winning the game is huge. It is a huge step forward. It gets you momentum going into 24. That's always good to win your last game. And also, the team was picked to finish dead last. Now, I know they won 8 games. If you finish 9-4, you can say, hey, you know, we won 9 games in a season when we were supposed to finish dead last. It's huge momentum. It gets you a win over a non-conference team that's pretty good. So, yeah, winning the game is obviously the most important thing right now, and it's huge for your momentum going into 24.
Speaking of the portal, you mentioned Beanie Bishop. And Beanie Bishop ends up being the 13th consensus All-American at West Virginia. So let's hear what Coach Brown had to say about Beanie Bishop at West Virginia.
First of all, I'm really happy for him individually. But then it's been not just his on-field performance has helped us, but his work ethic, how he practiced, how he prepared has really helped our defensive backfield. Like some of the younger guys, even some of the older guys that have eligibility, he's really made a difference back there. And we're better. We're significantly better because of him. But I think it's a good story. You know, it's going to help us in the portal. You know, it's going to help us not only this year in the portal cycle, but moving forward. It's going to help us for sure.
Having a guy like Beanie Bishop that made the plays that he made, it is a great, it's a great recruiting tool. I got a consensus All-American. I can make you one. But I will say, with that dumpster juice of coach that we got, I just do not see.
Still no love.
I can't give. I mean, and again, Beanie, he made some great plays. I mean, he dropped a lot of balls. He could have had what, 5 or 6 more picks if he would have caught those. But I just don't believe in the coaching staff. And in a previous clip, you talked about how we did some things schematically different. No, our guys caught the football. You know what I mean? Because our defensive players dropped so many passes early, and they caught the football and did some things that kind of changed the game, changed the dynamic, and put us in better positions. Schematically, yeah, they put him in the right places, but I can't confirm or deny that was true.
West Virginia will take on North Carolina in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Mayo, what's it called, the Duke's Mayo Bowl or whatever.
That's it, Duke's Mayo Bowl.
So let's hear Coach Brown's comments on the appearance in the bowl game.
Offensively, they're in the top 10 in the country. And they've played pretty well. Offensively, they had some turnovers late, and but yeah, that's probably a question for them. You know, here's what I see. I see a group that's talented. I think they're dangerous because they're gonna have some new people playing, and I think sometimes, like, that's underestimated, especially in the bowl season. You know, everybody pays attention to who's not playing, but all these other guys got new opportunities, and they've been recruiting at a pretty good level, and so we're gonna see some pretty good players. The scary, and I think I said this on that Zoom, on, you know, seemed like forever ago. I guess it was, but it seemed like forever ago. The scary, that running back is a really, really good player. And we've played a bunch of good running backs this year, but he's as good as anybody we've played. And then defensively, is they've got the ability to rush. They've got a couple pass rushers. And we haven't seen a lot of elite pass rushers this year. And they've got a couple guys that can really they have great speed off the edge. And so something we're really working on.
One of the things that's going to happen for North Carolina is obviously they're not going to be with their starting quarterback. Drake May is sitting out. He's probably going to be.
He's top five pick is what they're saying.
You know, he could be the first quarterback taken.
Could be.
In the draft. But they will be playing with a backup. And let's hear what Coach Brown had to say about that. As soon as I could pull it up here. Here he is.
He's played a little bit. The thing that I'm using, I go back and watch him at Thompson in Alabama. And he won a couple state championships there. So when you think about him, I think two things stick out. First of all, he's really fast. He's a big kid that's really fast. Second thing is he throws a deep ball really well. And if you go back and you watch his high school tape, his post and go routes, he threw really well. And they've got some big body guys at receiver. And so are they going to look the exact same they did when Drake May played quarterback? I don't know. You know, I think they're not going to ask their O-line to do a bunch of different things, but I think they're definitely going to have some quarterback run game. And I can see them throwing the ball off some play action stuff and getting the ball downfield. And I know he has a lot of confidence throwing the ball, like on those deep throws. I mean, he's talented doing that.
But I don't believe that he's going to be a difference maker in this game. And that's just fluff that I think he was just given.
Little coach speak right before the bowl game.
You don't get much out of them coaches before the game. You get that coach speak. That's all you get. Oh, this guy's great.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Kevin Kinder from Blue Gold News. We'll talk about some West Virginia recruiting. We'll do all that after this.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have three locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barbersville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salengo. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salengo Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salengolaw.com.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. And joining me, Mr. Kevin Kinder from BlueGoldNews.com, talking about the recruiting class for West Virginia this year. First of all, good to hear from you, Kevin. How's everything going?
Anthony, doing well. Busy time of year. Doesn't seem like it ever stops. You know, you think you got a break in the football season, starting to get into basketball, but obviously recruiting in here. Transfers now with the portal has made things just, you know, going left, right, up, down, every direction possible.
Well, the reason why I called you was because I don't follow recruiting that close, and I know you keep your ear to the ground. So let's get into it a little bit. First of all, I mean, how would you rank, and not necessarily nationally, but how would you rank or give the overall view for this class for Neil Brown?
No. I never want to overrate these things too much because I don't want to, you know, be viewed as, you know, being part of a hype machine or anything like that. But I do feel like this class is a little step up from previous classes. Mm-hmm. I feel like they better fit what they're trying to recruit to. They have addressed a lot of the problem areas, the question areas that they've had. They've got a lot of defensive backfield, secondary people. They got a couple offensive linemen. They got wide receivers. And, you know, of course, today was focused on the high school players. They also have six transfers that have already committed that they'll be announcing as they enroll, you know, in at WVU for the second semester, for the spring semester. So, you know, overall, I think it's a pretty good class. It's always, you know, tough to figure out what you have relative to everybody else. So I think the best thing is to see and look at how it fits what you needed. Feel like they did a pretty good job. I think they've got some guys that can help early.
Yeah, I mean, usually I look at the offer sheet, right? I don't even look at stars anymore. And it used to be, it felt like early in his tenure here, we were beating out like Old Dominion and Toledo. And this time there were guys that were committed to Pittsburgh or had offers from Penn State, Miami, Tennessee, and we got these guys. I mean, I'm looking at the wide receivers, the Brandon Raymond. You know, he was recruited by, was it Miami, Tennessee, and then Day-Day Farmer. You know, obviously he had offers from Pittsburgh and Central Florida. You know, so it felt like we were able to go out and get some guys and beat some, you know, Power Five schools for some players.
It's good to hear somebody else say that they're not, you know, totally enamored of stars.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't look at
those
that.
Are just so dependent on, you know, the service, the person doing it, you know, who knows what agendas are in place there, but yeah, you've got to look and say, hey, if X of these other schools, if those are Big 12 schools, Power Five schools that are involved with those, then you have to feel pretty good about it. And obviously you hope you get a couple of hidden players. You know, you snagged a couple guys that maybe went under the radar a little mm-hmm. bit. And, you know, I think they might have gotten a couple of those too. But, yeah, overall, I think it's better. I'm not saying it's a top 20 class or anything like that in, you know, anybody's view, in the recruiting services view. But, yeah, I think it's important to look at what they got, how it addresses their needs, and I think it's better.
Got about a minute here. One of the kids that he really specifically talked about was Chris Henry. And let's point out this is not number five West Virginia Chris Henry's son.
Right.
But he called this kid a sleeper. What do you know about him?
Yeah, he is a very mobile guy. You know, an athlete that they could probably play at a couple different positions. That's one thing I wrote about today on BlueGoldNews.com is the versatility of players in this class. They got a couple of players they call athletes, almost everybody in the defensive secondary. They got guys that they feel like could play more than one position. They're just going to bring them in and see what they're the most suited for. And I think that's kind of a thing that goes through West Virginia history. You know, they've always had a you know, good luck or a good success with guys that you might think of as tweeners, going all the way back to Canute Curtis,
mm-hmm.
you know, a guy that was kind of part defensive end, part linebacker, and, you know, into in a great player. So, yeah, he's one of those guys in that mold. You're going to bring him in, you're going to try him at several different positions, and I really think he can help somewhere down the road.
Recruiting, man, it's a tricky, tricky game, and that's all we have Kevin Kinder from Blue Gold News on. Kevin, it's good to hear from you. I appreciate you checking in with us and giving us an update on the West Virginia recruiting.
Anthony, always a pleasure to join you all here, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, that's Kevin Kinder, Blue Gold News, and when we come back, we'll hear from Coach Rich Rodriguez after this.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way, by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory, with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
Tired of carrying a plain old debit card? Get a custom card from Summit Community Bank. You can show off your unique style every time you make a purchase. Whether it's a photo of your family, your pet, or your favorite vacation spot, we'll put it right on your card. And when it comes to security and service, custom cards come with the same chip technology and our signature service beyond expectations. Upgrade your wallet today by stopping by your local branch. We're proud to be your hometown bank, Summit Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
And welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. And as promised, the head coach of Jacksonville State, Coach Rich Rodriguez. Hello, Coach. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
I text you throughout the course of the year, and I, of course, watch your games. Love watching you guys play this year. First of all, congratulations on an exciting bowl win.
Crazy. Yeah, we tried to give it away, but it hung in there, kept playing. And for our first season, bowl eligible, and be the first one to win a bowl game in our first season as bowl eligible is a pretty neat deal. And really, really happy for our guys, for our players. They've worked really hard and they've earned it.
Well, at one point, before we even get to the game, at one point you didn't even know if you were going to get to play in a bowl.
No, I know. Once we got bowl eligible, we knew the situation going on, both us and James Madison, that there had to be not enough teams to qualify. We felt good, but then toward the end, it was like, oh, my gosh, it's going to come down to the wire. And our guys weren't worrying about it too much, and we weren't talking about it too much, but at the same time, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, golly, I'd hate for our guys not to get that opportunity. And as fate would have it, we got it. We got a great bowl game, great site, a great venue, had a really good week, and we're able to win it. So that makes it all around a fantastic season.
Let's talk a little bit about the game. I was watching it, and you kind of alluded to it. You I've never seen a team turn the ball over so many times and yeah. come out with a win. I mean, and, you know, I've known you for 24, 23 years now, and I know turnovers is not your thing.
No. It was so uncharacteristic of our guys because we had done a great job all year, and it was like, what the heck's going on? And I don't know if there's ever been a game where teams giving away 21 points on turnovers, and the other team had no turnovers, and yet we still won. So it was very improbable. I give our guys credit for not panicking, to not dropping their head when they made a mistake. And, you know, we ran 109 plays on offense, so we were kind of controlling the tempo. And the longer the game went, the more comfortable I felt because, you know, our guys are in great shape and all that. But for a while, I was like, what are we doing? Every time we turn around, we're giving them points. And so it was a really, really strange game. But, you know, all that matters at the end that we won, that our guys got to truly have the great bowl experience.
Yeah, and that was one of the stats they flashed on the screen right before you guys went into overtime was over 100 plays ran, 500 yards of total offense, and here we were going into overtime. Just an exciting ball game. Let's talk about a little bit about your quarterback situation. You've played with three quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, we did. Really, because of injuries. You know, Zion Webb, our starter, got banged up a little bit. Logan Smith, our backup, got banged up a little bit, and both of those guys got banged up in that game. We're going in and out. They're tough guys, and it wasn't anything that was long-term injuries, but stuff that was short-term injuries. But the way we practice, people that have been around us, they know that we give our ones and twos the same amount of reps all the time. We get so many plays off in practice that we think it gets at least two guys and a quarterback. We rep three guys, get them ready, and we needed that several times this year.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. You know, your running game this year was really strong, and I know that's always been one of your attributes. I mean, pretty much anywhere you've gone, you've been able to run the football. But even looking at your quarterback numbers here, he was 14 to 26. I'm looking at Webb's numbers here, 14 to 26, 156 yards passing. But he was able to put up 70 yards on the ground for you. And then Wiggins, your running back, was 126 yards.
Yeah, it all starts up front. Our O-line is not the biggest O-line, but they're well-coached. They're aggressive. You know, in our perimeter blocking, our wide receivers take a great amount of pride in how they block. Well, I've always felt it. Go fast tempo, of course. You can control the tempo by getting first downs on offense. You know, you got a chance to control the game. And we're able to do that. Now, turnovers let them in it. Stay, you know, in the lead. But we were controlling the tempo, and that was a good thing toward the end.
And you talked about the offensive line, of course. I keep my eye on your games. Our local guy here, Xavier Bosley, a freshman All-American, I believe, doing a hell of a job for you guys down there this year.
Yeah, he did a great job. And unfortunately, I'm not sure. You know, we know there's people coming after him, and we know there's people tampering with him too, which is one of the unfortunate things about this transfer portal and NIL and all this stuff. That, you know, there's guys going to be tampering with our guys, and that's unfortunate. That shouldn't happen. You know, we know if guys are going to go in a portal, explore their options, that's one thing. For people to come out and try to – I'm pretty sure it's happening with several of our guys, and he might be one of them, but for guys to tamper with them before they go in the portal and offer and try to recruit them while they're on somebody else's team before the portal opens, before they get in the portal, to me, is just not right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, here's my thing, and I talk about this all the time. If a school it's really not right for them to come after a kid that they weren't going to recruit, and another kid, you know, another school's taking this young man in, groomed him, coached him up, and now all of a sudden you need a spot to fill, and you're going to go just swipe him from another school. I have big issues with that. And, of course, it happens, you know, the schools are reaching down and grabbing your guys out of the G5, and then, you know, the Alabamas and Ohio States are grabbing schools from the Oklahoma States and the West Virginias and the Virginia Techs. It's just not right. It drives me up the wall when I see it happening. So I'm hoping you don't get purged too much. Hopefully you're able to keep your guys around, because I'm really excited to see you guys next year. And you mentioned the offensive line, and Coach Trickett, he's still down there with you?
Yeah, Trick does a great job. You know, he's the old man on the staff, he and I guess. But he's, you know, he has trained probably more guys to play in the NFL. From a technique standpoint, and we've worked together before. He's got the same kind of juice, expertise that he's always had, the same kind of passion. And he, you know, the guys will realize he coaches them hard, but he cares more about his guys than maybe any position coach ever. I mean, and our guys see that, works them hard and all that, but you know, he doesn't have aspiration. He don't want to go to head coach or corner. He wants to be the best line coach for those guys he could possibly be. And he wants to get the very best out of them. And he does that to every man. And they see that now. Our guys see that, hey, he's taking this point here to where I can be not just a starter, but an all-conference guy and maybe play on the next level. And they got a tremendous amount of respect of them, and as I do too. So our guys know if they're an O-lineman, they want to be developed and be the best they can be in college and maybe keep playing. They're not going to get better coaches than they are right here at Jack State with Rick Trickett.
And I agree. I'll double down on that. You know, as we move through bowl season, I was getting ready for the show, and then I was looking back at West Virginia's history in Charlotte. And I know you probably don't want to talk about this too much, but Avon and I were just in here kicking it around and talking about the inaugural Continental Tire Bowl and the visit to play Virginia. You know, they're, 20 years into that bowl game now, and you played in the first one. What do you remember about heading down to Charlotte and just the fans? And it was your first bowl game, and
yeah,
the fans showed up in full force that weekend.
Oh, he did. And I remember being excited by getting in the bowl, because the year before we had a terrible year, and, you know, we had flipped it around and got a chance to go down there with the bowl experience. And they did a great job. You know, like you said, it's a new bowl, so they were trying to impress. And kind of a little bit I can remember, they did, you know, all week they had activities. The guys, they were very well organized. West Virginia's got great fans. You know, they're going to travel. And the West Virginia fans were down on force. And, you know, we didn't play well at all, but at the same time, I think the whole experience about getting back into the bowl picture after a bad year really, I think, propelled us over the next couple of years after that to take the next step.
It's funny. You know, as time goes by, little secrets and things tend to slip out from the guys involved in these games. And Avon was telling me, he was talking to me about how disappointed he was the fact that West Virginia had been shut out of the Gator Bowl. And, you know, you'd like to think that, you know, that shouldn't play a factor in it, but he seems to believe that had they played NC State in the Gator Bowl, that they may have actually performed a little better in the bowl. Do you remember any disappointment or?
No, I'm so old, I probably got a lot of things. So I forget a lot of things.
Yeah.
Finally getting the Gator Bowl and then, you know, playing awful in a couple years, so we finally won that thing too. But I remember happy to be able to get in a bowl because mm-hmm. it was a turnaround from the year before. And then I felt good that we had the thing on the right track and we're going to, you know, continue to build. So, and I thought our guys, I don't remember bowl week we're there or any bowl I've been to where the guys, you know, didn't seem to be want to be there or didn't seem focused practice. Mm-hmm. Now I was talking earlier on a Zoom call about our Sugar Bowl, what stood out to me was how laser focused our guys were and never made a single mistake for three straight days of practice.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that. But at the same time, I do remember one thing we probably did show, or I say our fans did, that they will travel. They will go to a bowl game. And if you're going to invite West Virginia to a bowl, the West Virginia fans are going to be there, especially if they can drive there, right? If they can drive there and drive, they're going to be there in force.
Oh, yeah. Talking here with Coach Rich Rodriguez, Jacksonville State. What's coming up for you guys? I know you guys are going to go into the recruiting process, but what are you looking forward to for next year? I know you start to kind of turn the page and you've got to get some new guys in there, but are you excited for next year and what the direction of the program for your team?
Yeah, we had 11 seniors and we'll have a few guys that get poached and lose a few, hopefully not too many. But we got a nice class of guys signing tomorrow. We'll sign probably a dozen or so. Then we'll probably try to get a dozen or so more in the February signing period to get a few transfers. And the culture is set, you know, but we're also excited. We're moving in this summer into a brand new football facility. For 2 years, we've been in a temporary facility, a temporary locker room, haven't had our own meeting, nothing. And we've had that for 2 years. So this summer, that all changes in a brand new, you know, $40 million football complex, new weight room, practice facility. And we've been working, since the day I got hired, we've been working hard on that, get that completed, and that'll be completed this summer. So we're really excited about that.
Great stuff. Well, Coach, I'm going to cut you loose. I appreciate you taking the time once again. Congratulations on your big win. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Appreciate you, and let's keep in touch, my friend.
All right, take care.
Hey, it's Dave Allen for Parmar Stores, and yes, another holiday season is here. Now, you don't need me to tell you how hectic it all is with the shopping, the cooking, the decorating, family and friends. Well, just remember, your local Parmar Store is here for you during the holiday season and year-round. From gas to groceries and all the other things you need or may run out of, Parmar has you covered. We are the official convenience store of Marshall University and of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission. Happy holidays, and remember, if there's not a Parmar Store near you now, there will be soon.
Tired of carrying a plain old debit card? Get a custom card from Summit Community Bank. You can show off your unique style every time you make a purchase. Whether it's a photo of your family, your pet, or your favorite vacation spot, we'll put it right on your card. And when it comes to security and service, custom cards come with the same chip technology and our signature service beyond expectations. Upgrade your wallet today by stopping by your local branch. We're proud to be your hometown bank, Summit Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind, to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis here with Derek Bailey, Avon Coburn. Our buddy Michael Sussman's on assignment in Washington, D.C. He's getting into politics right here next.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
I'll stay away from that.
Just kidding. Good to hear from Coach Rich Rodriguez with his big win at, I don't remember the name of the bowl now.
They played New Orleans Bowl.
Against Louisiana. So it was good to hear. But speaking to Coach Rod, this isn't the first time West Virginia's played in this Duke's Mayo Bowl. I know the names. I talk about this every year. The names of the bowls change, and it kind of devalues the bowl because, you know, next thing you know, one of these bowls that have been around for 60 years is like the Dollar General Bowl, and everybody's like, you don't want to play in that.
You don't want to play in the
Motel 6.
It's like the Citrus Bowl. I don't even know what it is. It's like the Verbo Citrus Bowl now or something. Like, the Citrus Bowl was always a good bowl game, like in the Gator Bowl. Like, I don't even
know what it is. That's called the Tax Slayer Bowl now.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, like, that used to be a good bowl game. People are looking at it and like, that bowl game sucks, but it used to be a really good game.
Well, this bowl game has been. It's now the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Before it was the Meineke Car Care Bowl, and before that it was the Continental Tire Bowl. And you got to play in the inaugural game.
Yeah, and I mean, that was actually my last game at that, you know, my last game in college football. But
I looked it up.
That was actually my first game.
You got 25 carries, 117 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and I just regret every moment of that game because we didn't prepare. We didn't prepare the way we wanted to. We felt like we should have been in a Gator Bowl, and you know, if I could have sat out that game, I would have sat it out. I just felt like it was just we got kicked in the face, and Notre Dame played and got destroyed. So they
went to the Gator. I remember they selected Notre Dame.
Yeah. Guess what? Played NC State, I believe.
And of course, West Virginia got a Virginia team that was kind of looking to prove something because they hadn't been. I think they were kind of building under Al Groh. Right. They had some really good play. They had Matt Schwab, long time.
Who was the tight end?
Wally Lundy was a really good player for him.
He played for the Steelers.
Farrier,
Miller.
James Farrier,
Heath Miller.
Oh, but yeah. No, James Farrier, I believe, was a linebacker on that team, if I'm not mistaken. He played for the Steelers too. They had a really good team, and they were looking to prove something because they were kind of building under Al Groh there. He was in his early years. West Virginia was too, but it was still deflating, I'm sure, for the team to end up in the Tire Bowl against Virginia instead of the Gator Bowl where they should have been.
Yeah, I remember when we finished beating Pitt. I don't know who had it, but somebody had an inflatable gator on the sideline because we thought we were going to Jacksonville.
I mean, that should have been the start of the Jacksonville run. I think every year after that but we didn't get a chance to make it. And that really ticked me off because I mean we worked really hard and we had Miami, which is one of the best teams in the country. They were actually number one in the country. We knew we weren't going to beat them. Most people knew we weren't going to beat them. And you know, to finish the season the way we did, and then get that taken away from us. That's why I hate Notre Dame to this day.
Well, it was the biggest turnaround in the nation as far as record. They've literally flipped their record from 3-8 to 8-3.
Right.
Yeah. So overall, it was a good season. It was kind of a disappointing finish to a really good season.
So when people say, "I've never heard of this bowl," you have.
You just don't know it's called the Duke's Mayo Bowl now.
I guess the winner or the loser gets mayo dumped on them.
Oh, the winner.
Yeah, the winner.
Seems like it would be the loser, but it's the winner.
That's terrible.
Let's talk a little bit about the college football playoff. Awesome. Obviously, after the West Virginia game, Michigan and Bama will match up, Texas and Washington. Where were you guys at on the teams that were picked? And are you upset that Florida State did not make – this is the first time we've seen each other since – that Florida State didn't make the playoff.
Listen, here's where I stand on this whole thing. We have a committee that can't seed a 68 basketball team tournament. They can't seed four teams in football either. If you want the four best teams, if you want truly the four best teams, why didn't you just take Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Texas? Because they generally have the best players. If you want the four best, take those four teams.
Right.
Having said that, I like how they took Alabama based on the strength that they had just beat Georgia. It's like everybody forgot the week before it took a miracle for Alabama to beat Auburn. Like that game didn't count all of a sudden because they beat Georgia. You know, they lost at home to Texas. Florida State went undefeated. Florida State did everything. They played LSU out of conference. They played Clemson.
Right.
They beat everybody on their schedule, and they beat a team that was ranked like 13th in the college football playoff rankings without their quarterback. Is it a different team without Jordan Travis? Sure. But the thing is they proved that they can also win without Jordan Travis. I think it's a travesty that they were left out. Somebody's going to be disappointed. And even next year when it goes to 12, 13's going to be disappointed.
Absolutely. And I'm in agreement on that. And, I mean, you're a Michigan guy. Michigan shouldn't have been the number one team at all because their strength of schedule versus Washington's, it doesn't match up. So Washington should have been number one. Michigan should have been number two. Florida State should have been number three, and Texas should have been number four. To me, it I don't understand how in the world they messed that up. Like, they decided that football shouldn't be played on the field anymore. They're saying, okay, let's let the guys that's probably never played a game ever decide who's going to play the game. And to me, it's a travesty. And then I don't know if you've seen Booger McFarland. He was throwing him under the bus the entire time. He's like, I just seen a 5A state champion lose this year to a team that was, you know, that shouldn't even have been in there. You played a game on the field.
And see, that's where I stand, too, because in what you're saying, I agree with, too. Like, if resume matters so much, Washington should have been number one. It's like they make different criteria for each week of the season to match what they want to do. Like, I remember when you had to be a conference champion. Well, now, and then all of a sudden Ohio State made it. Well, we felt like Ohio State was one of the best four teams. Well, but what happened to being a conference champion? Right. So it's like they're changing it as you go. And also, I also don't want to hear, well, Florida State would have been an underdog on a neutral field to Alabama. Guess what? Washington was an underdog twice to Oregon. Who won those games?
Right.
If you're going to take the games do not matter, in my opinion, if you're going to do what they just did. Like, don't tell those kids at Florida State that, hey, congratulations, you're going to the Sugar Bowl. You know, it's a non-playoff game. Those kids don't want to play that. If I were them, I would opt out completely. I wouldn't even show up if I were them.
I would show up, get the bowl stuff,
and then not play the game. That's absolutely what I said 10 minutes before kickoff, say, hey, we ain't playing.
If anybody's going to be upset, I think it should be Georgia. How do you go from being the number one team for 3 years in a row and lose one game?
Right, and then be out.
And just be totally left out.
You knew it was going to come to this at some point, though. You knew it was going to come to
the bowl committee, who, by the way, is owned by ESPN,
yeah,
painted themselves into the corner because weeks ago they came out and said, no matter what happens, Texas will always stay ahead of Alabama because Texas beat. So they had no choice but to push Alabama up to three, or Texas up to three and Alabama to four.
Here's the question I'll ask the committee. If Jalen Milroe, late in that Alabama-Georgia game, had broken his leg and wouldn't have been able to play, would they have left Alabama out in favor of Florida State?
Exactly. Great question.
That is a great question.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. Let's get into it. West Virginia, the Fighting Mountaineers from Morgantown, West Virginia, will take on UNC, the Tar Heels of Chapel Hill. In the Duke's Mayo Bowl, what are your predictions for the game, gents?
So, I originally was going to go against the Mountaineers because, one, I didn't think Neil Brown could beat a team that had a winning record.
You guys don't feel any different about Neil right now?
Absolutely not. Like, however, because of, you know, them meaning North Carolina, have another drink, please. North Carolina, half of their stars sitting out. I don't know if we're in West Virginia, so there's going to be pickup trucks coming by. I don't see West Virginia losing this game. If they do lose this game, if West Virginia loses this game, Neil Brown should be fired immediately after this game.
I mean, you know, I'm with Avon here to an extent. I thought North Carolina would beat West Virginia with Drake May. However, I thought it would be a shootout. Because I thought I think West Virginia's going to be able to score plenty of points against North Carolina. Their defense is not very good. And I thought they would be able to throw all over West Virginia with Drake May.
Score a lot of points. You act like we got look, we don't have the quarterback to do that.
No, they'll be able to run. North Carolina gives up like 165 rushing yards a game, which is a ton. West Virginia should be able to run the ball on them. I like West Virginia. I think they win the game. And, you know, the opt-outs help.
Yeah, I'm going to take West Virginia in this. Obviously, they're going to be able to – they're bringing their whole offense. You know, Jaheim White, Garrett Green, the whole deal. You know, up front, they're going to lose Frazier, but Yates will move over. I like West Virginia in this one. So, are we West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia across the board here?
We are.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to the Touchdown City Show. This is the official conclusion for the radio stuff, but make sure you check touchdowncity.com. for upcoming podcasts throughout the course of the year. For Avon, Derek, Michael Sussman, I'm Anthony Lewis. Thanks for listening.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.